wax dripping, honey. What do you say? I got a brand new record that I want to play, and that record is from the band Aerosmith. And it is brought to you this week by Pop Rockin' Radio. Ken Knapsack's Pop Rockin' Radio. The big hits, album cuts, and B-sides from the rock and roll and pop world that make up the soundtracks of our lives. Look for live shows and make requests, sing, dance, and celebrate the music with the Pop Rockin' Radio community, which features a lot of fine folks, including myself, Corey Morissette, and my broadcasting partner here tonight, John Mariano. How's it going, John?
It is going spectacular, my friend. I just had the best meatball parm hero before we got on the show tonight. I'm sorry if it repeats on me a little bit during this episode, but my God, it was on garlic bread. I couldn't begin to tell you how good it tasted.
Oh, you bastard. I am so hungry. I haven't had supper yet, and you're making me hungrier. John is a tremendous cook for folks that don't know. And I can just imagine the glory and wonder that is a John Mariano meatball parm. That sounds just amazing.
I know it sounds amazing, but and I appreciate the plug on the cooking, but the reality is it came from the pizza place over here, and the delivery guy brought it, and it was still warm. And my God, like, I love when you open the paper up and the cheese sticks a little bit to the paper as you open it up. And it's just so good.
All right. I'm going to leave. You can cover the song yourself. I'm heading to Long Island. I need to get me a meatball parm at this point. That sounds too good.
No, man. Look, we're working on this mixtape. We're working really hard. We're getting our way to magic number 18. So that way we can get to 19 and start knocking some of these songs off.
Yep.
And really starting to see what the show is all about. We have some solid tracks. I finally got a song last week. And I did victory laps for 3 hours after the show around my house, banging pots and pans. My neighbors called the cops. It was incredible. But I was just, the cops came and like, what happened? Like the guys picked my song and they had no idea what I was talking about.
And then you told them it was the other side. And they were like, oh, we get it.
Yeah.
We get it. You heard the other side. It's all good.
I mean, I was singing the other side, but I'm pretty sure it was indecipherable. And they had no idea what I was saying. It was like a really bad Will Ferrell movie moment.
I understand. I can picture this, and it warms my heart to see you running around your house singing The Other Side by Aerosmith. Great song. Great show last week, John. One of my favorites from Pump. But that still leaves us with six songs on the dice. Should I just recap them for the folks here?
You should recap them this way the folks know. The goal here is to build a mixtape so that way we can hand it off to somebody who's never listened to the band before and kind of say, this is who we think Aerosmith is, and fall in love with them. And that's all we're trying to do. And we're revisiting a lot of the songs in doing that. We have about 300 episodes to go. We have at least 290 more to go at this point. And each week we have six songs on the die. Corey picks three, I pick three. We roll the dice and see what comes up. Corey, what are those songs?
The current songs on the die include Chip Away the Stone, Rats in the Cellar, Jailbait, Permanent Vacation, Walk on Water, and new from last week, Sick as a Dog from Rocks. So, John, if you're ready to hop right into it, I'm ready to roll this dice and see what we get. I'm primed to listen to some Aerosmith here.
Please do, my friend.
All right, here we go. We are going to get Jailbait. This is a song from Rock in a Hard Place, which is not a well-known Aerosmith album. It's probably their deepest cut way back when. This is 1982. The album went gold, but this is the only album to not feature Joe Perry and Brad Whitford.
And I'm familiar with the song, and I enjoy this song. I do love Joe Perry. I do love Brad Whitford. And I'm going to leave it at that, and let's see what we actually think of the song.
And I put it on here because, like, we have to cover all these songs at some point. I'm thinking, Rock in a Hard Place, let's not pick the single from this album, which was Lightning Strikes, or the single everybody knows anyway. There was another song called A Bitch's Brew, which is also released from this album, which I don't recall at all.
Actually like Bitch's Brew, and that might be one of the next ones I put on the die. Yeah.
Jailbait was the first cut off of Rock in a Hard Place. It's written by Steven Tyler and Jimmy Crespo. Jimmy Crespo and Richie Supa are the two guitar players that took over for Brad Whitford and Joe Perry. And I'm sure you agree with me, Ron, John, a lot of the magic of Aerosmith is those five guys. So whenever you take two of them away and bring in two new guys, as good as they are, it may not kind of work as well.
Yeah, and this is a band that with like a 50-year career, and most bands don't keep the band together most of the time. When you look at it, the faces change significantly over the years. This is kind of like the brown out or the stutter step that Aerosmith makes in their career.
Yeah, you're very true. And I got to correct myself right off the hop. I said Richie Supa was in the band. He wasn't. He just co-wrote Lightning Strikes. The band at this moment in their history was Steven Tyler, Tom Hamilton, Joey Kramer, Jimmy Crespo, and Rick Dufay, who played rhythm guitar. Credited as a band member, but does not play. But he's still kind of in the lineup at this point. So a really kind of a weird moment for Aerosmith. I know Steven Tyler was really big into drugs at this point. This album was produced by Jack Douglas again, Steven Tyler, and Tony Bongiovi, who folks might remember as being a relative of one John Bon Jovi, who would go on to some great acclaim a few years later.
I think we need to get to it.
Let's start listening to Jailbait from 1982's Rockin' a Hard Place. All right, so we got a nice up-tempo intro to the song here, John. What do you think?
I feel like the band is going 150 miles per hour. It feels like there was this roller coaster down in Florida for Universal Studios called The Hulk. And it's made to make you feel like Bruce Banner turns into The Hulk and launches you out at like 70 miles an hour off the bat. And I feel like that's what the song is doing right now. It goes like 0 to 60 or 0 to 70 in the blink of an eye. And I love the way they're cooking right now.
That great album opener. Like you want to start off with a big statement like that. And you have Steven Tyler singing, "Take me, take me, take me outside. And maybe, baby, take me, take me, take me, take me." You know, not a lot lyrically there, but just a nice drive from the band here. And again, you know, Jimmy Crespo, Rick Dufay, you know, sound great. Even though, according to Wikipedia, he was credited as a band member, but did not play. So I don't know if it's Jimmy Crespo who's doubling up rhythm and lead here. Brad Whitford played on one track. He played on Lightning Strikes. I don't see any other listed musicians for Jailbait. So if this isn't Rick Dufay, it's Jimmy Crespo doing both. But you know, you got the core of the band sounding pretty good here, I think, right off the hop. Now, what do you think he's referring to when he's singing about jailbait there, John?
I'm afraid that it's probably something that is no longer appropriate for him to sing about in the year 20. If it wasn't appropriate back then, but maybe it was looked past. I think this is kind of something that Steven Tyler gets canceled about nowadays. And, you know, he's had some promiscuous past and he's had some questionable decisions in his life. And I have a feeling he's talking about underage girls. And I don't necessarily think that they're mincing words here. And, you know, it's a good track and the music's good, but the subject matter might be questionable. It might be like listening to like Kip Winger at this point.
I know what song you're referring to when you say Kip Winger too. Of course, Winger did a song called 17, where the main lyric in the chorus is, "She's only 17. Daddy says she's too young, but she's old enough for me." That song does not age well. And neither do the lyrics of Jailbait. Take it or leave it on a Saturday night. If what you see is what you get, then give me a bite. Hear a lot of ladies, D is real insecure. Leave it to the boys and the fool on the hill. Yeah, musically, I dig this song, but lyrically, it does not age well.
No, lyrically, this is the kind of song I'd want to take him out back and work him over a little bit about.
So you can almost say this is Aerosmith at one of their lowest points, right? Because, you know, Toys in the Attic, of course, was a big hit. And then everything kind of, after Rocks, kind of dropped down for them to the point where Joe Perry left, Brad Whitford left. So it's 1982. They're desperately clinging to whatever popularity they had, which they got by touring throughout the 70s. Like, they toured everywhere. And that's how they built their following. But Steven Tyler was so messed up at this point. He was collapsing on stage a lot. Like, the shows weren't great. And, you know, this is Aerosmith kind of at their, if we had Aerosmith last week at their highest point, this is maybe Aerosmith at their lowest point.
No. And what's crazy to me is like, when you think of the era of music, right, it's kind of a good thing for the history of music that Aerosmith has this low, because they were riding such a high in the 70s that had they continued, you know, there's only so much room on the charts for songs and for albums, right? And like, Motley Crue starts to come out and Def Leppard starts to come out. And we start getting into those big hair bands of the 80s that kind of usher in the era. And I think this lull helps leave an opening that leads to that.
It's interesting. I'm just reading a quote here from Joey Kramer that he put in his autobiography called Hit Hard, a story of hitting rock bottom at the top. And Joey Kramer says, and I quote, "The record doesn't suck. There's some really good stuff on it, but it's not a real Aerosmith record because it's just me, Steven, and Tom with a fill-in guitar player. It's Jimmy Crespo doing all the guitar work." And that's kind of how I feel listening to this track in particular. This is the lead-off track off of Rock and a Hard Place. So this is what they thought was one of their better up-tempo songs to kick off this album. And musically, I think it's right there. Lyrically, with the benefit of 40 years of hindsight, we can say, you know, maybe it doesn't work. But back in 82,
you know what? But even with musically, it is missing some stank on it. It really is. Like, it's astute guitar playing. I mean that in the best way possible, but it's not next level guitar playing that we're used to.
Yeah, it's competent. It's good guitar playing, but it's not Joe Perry, Brad Whitford guitar playing.
Right.
Those two working together, some of the best guitar sounds you're going to hear on a rock and roll record.
It's
Jimmy
also
Crespo, great guitar player, but he's by himself, and it's not quite carrying that same weight.
No. And Perry and Whitford are also doing a tango most of the time,
yeah,
where they're dancing around each other, and with one guitarist, you can't do that no matter how much studio play you're doing. And even with two guitarists, you got to try to match the chemistry. And, you know, not many dance the tango as well as those two.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting. I read this quote here from a Canadian journalist, Martin Popoff. He describes the album as a bit patchy, with highlights being Jailbait, Lightning Strikes, and Joni's Butterfly, and the rest variously lumbering, untuneful, and forced. But although Aerosmith could barely function at this point in their career, they never made a bad record. And I haven't listened to a ton of Rock and a Hard Place in a long time. I've heard Jailbreak come up in the playlist every once in a while. Lightning Strikes is a song I generally enjoy, but everything else on this album, the other eight songs, I have no idea because I haven't heard them in forever. So one of the things I find exciting about this podcast is that we're going to have to listen to Bitches Brew and Bolivian Ragamuffin and Crimea River and Prelude to Joni and all this stuff that I haven't heard since probably the early 80s.
No, and there's good stuff in it, but kind of like late Aerosmith, like 2012 Aerosmith, it's very much missing the pieces. It's not the band working at the height of their powers.
Yeah, you need all five to kind of make the magic happen. And here we have three of them. It doesn't suck, but it's not necessarily Aerosmith either.
Of all the Aerosmith lyrics, I'm going to take exception with. Okay? Tell your daddy how you do me, put the woodshed, do it to me, jailbeat.
Yeah.
Might be my least favorite and probably in some of the worst taste Aerosmith lyrics out there.
Yeah. I agree. There's really not much more you can say about that. Even in 82, you're listening to the song, you're thinking, geez, that's kind of creepy. And in 2022, it's really creepy.
It was never in good taste. It was overlooked or not cared about. And we're not the politically correct podcast, but we got to call it like we see it. And sometimes you order some bad Chinese food and you feel terrible the next day. And that's kind of how I'm feeling about the song right now.
Yeah. Take it, leave it, roll the dice. You saw to sell. I'm cold as ice. Oh, jailbait. Yeah. Not great, Stephen. Not great. So not really a guitar solo there. We just kind of had a little bridge section there with Steven Tyler saying, do me, do you, tell me, would you see me or see in me to do me, do you. I kind of miss a guitar solo there. I don't think we needed a little lyrical interlude.
I don't feel like we were going to get a guitar solo here with this cast of characters. And I think that's something that off of most of these songs, if not all of these songs on this album, will be something that's woefully missing and making probably this entire album easy like misses for the mixtape.
Yeah. And maybe that's why I originally put it on here, because we're going to have to cover this album eventually. This is one of the songs I just remembered. I was kind of saving Lightning Strikes because that's the song I know and like from Rockin' a Hard Place. But what do you think Jimmy Crespo's contribution was to this song? Because he co-wrote 7 of the 10 songs on this album. It almost feels like Steven Tyler's trying to recapture something he had with Joe Perry back when they were the Toxic Twins in the 70s. But he wouldn't give Jimmy Crespo a solo either.
I mean, I feel like that's kind of like what you're trying to capture on this podcast by trying to do something without Mark.
I don't know if I would agree with that, John. You're kind of the star of the show here. I'm just I'm pressing the button.
I am your Jimmy Crespo, and you just haven't realized.
Oh gosh, no. I wouldn't agree with that at all. If anything, I'm the Richie Supa. I'm the guy who co-wrote one song on this album and did nothing else.
I mean, we're basically Crespo and Supa, and all I know is that you interrupted the Meatball Hero so we could hear this song. So why don't we finish it so I can get back to that hero?
Okay, we got a minute 29 left. We'll just let her play so you can finish yourself. Sleep, chase, cold, sweat, and sleep, feel the grace of that old jam.
I know we're in the middle of the outro here, but I had to stop it. This feels like sometimes when you have like a director or something who's left unchecked by their producer, like the producer doesn't help them with a movie, and they're just left to their own devices, and you end up with like a 4 or 5 hour director's cut that goes nowhere. This kind of feels like that. Is like, this feels like Steven Tyler unchecked. There is nobody to rein him in, but nobody for him to play with, right? And that's not a knock on the other members of Aerosmith, but he plays a lot with his voice and the guitars, and there's not a lot of that interweaving here. He's just trying to power through it and overcompensate for what's missing.
It's true, and God, there's so much to say about this is a band essentially broken up, aside from Joey Kramer and Tom Hamilton still giving it their all. Joe Perry left in 1979 after incidents at the World Series of Rock in Cleveland, Ohio. Brad Whitford left in 81 after recording Lightning Strikes, the one single off the song that I know, replaced by Rick Dufay when the recording of the album was finally complete. I don't know if they toured much or very long after this album. This is a band at its lowest point, and I thought Draw the Line was kind of the low point for them because they were all just so bombed out on drugs at that point in 1977 that you think one of them would die, but they kept on going. That album went double platinum. Then they did Night in the Ruts, which went platinum, and then Rock in a Hard Place, which only went gold. Like, it peaked at number 32. You know, it's going to be hard pressed to find any songs on here that are going to make the playlist. If anyone has a shot, it's Lightning Strikes. But you know, inappropriate lyrics aside, the band sounds okay.
No, they again sound like a very competent band. I love the Aerosmith parts of it, and the rest of them feel like day players who are trying their best to make an album.
Is it kind of appropriate that on the cover of this they had a picture of Stonehenge, which automatically reminds me of Spinal Tap?
I honestly feel like this is the album that inspires that scene. I don't know the timing of it all, but it feels very much like Rob Reiner sees this album and is like, yeah, that's going. Because even if you look at the size of Stonehenge on the cover of this album, it pales in comparison to the Aerosmith logo, which makes Stonehenge look like it's 2 feet tall.
Which, of course, one of the best moments in Spinal Tap is when they had a Stonehenge monument that was in danger of being crushed by a dwarf.
Corey, I just want to remind you, we are doing an Aerosmith podcast, and we're listening to a song that has us talking about Spinal Tap.
Well, you know, they can't all be winners. And I feel a little bad for putting it on here, but we got to get through these at some point. They can't all be winners, right? So it's going to be on the playlist for now. Once show 19 happens, though, this may be the first one off. All right, John Mariano, that's Jailbait from 1982's Rockin' a Hard Place. And I imagine if we had to ask Steven Tyler his feelings on this song, he would say,
a lot of tears, kind of hard for me, but I'll get over it.
I'll get over it. The music is fine. Lyrics, not so much. This is a band very much fractured. Jimmy Crespo was not the magic elixir to bring Aerosmith back to a prominent place in music in 1982. Not much you can really say about this one.
No, and I feel like I'm knocking it a lot. Like, it's still an Aerosmith song. Mm-hmm. I still enjoy it for what it is. I can knock the things I don't love about it, and you know they're obvious, but there are things that I do enjoy, like the tone of Steven Tyler's voice. Right, I can't say I enjoy his lyrics, but you know his singing, I enjoy that. I enjoy the drums. I enjoy the bass. I feel like there's competent guitar in it, and And by that, I just mean, I'm not going to turn it off. I'm not going to kick it out of bed, but it's not necessarily something I'm going back for seconds on.
No. And Jimmy Crespo, you know, he's gone on to play with Rod Stewart, Billy Squire, Meatloaf, Stevie Nicks, Rough Cut, acts like that. So very competent guitar player, but not a high point for Aerosmith. It's on the mixtape for now, but John, do you see it lasting very long?
No, I feel like you've got a couple of tracks on there right now that are going to be like one and done's. Like the argument's going to be which one's coming off first. I feel like you might have two tracks on the mixtape right now, but in fairness, you have more tracks on the mixtape.
I'm curious to think what you think the second track on the mixtape is going to come off pretty quick.
I feel like we called that a couple episodes ago, but I don't recall because it's been a couple of weeks right now. So I'd have to listen to it when it comes out because we do record these like a week or two in advance. When I listen to it, I'll let you know on Twitter.
That sounds good. But that means this is one of my songs that is gone now. I get to put a new track on there. And last time, John, I said I threatened next time I put a song on, it's going to be from Honkin' on Bobo. And I'm going to stay true to that. We're going to go with You Gotta Move from Honkin' on Bobo, which is a great underrated album. And this is a great underrated track.
I can't wait to hear it. You know, that was the other track. It was the track I hadn't heard before is the other one that I think is going to be quick off. But I do feel like I will keep that on longer than JLB.
I would have to agree with you. Like I said, the music was fine. Everything else didn't really kind of work. But I think you might be happy with You Gotta Move. Out of all the older blues standard songs they do on Honkin' on Bobo, this is one of the standouts, I think.
I agree.
All right. So, John, where can the fine folks find you when you're not co-hosting an Aerosmith podcast?
Oh, you can find me calling in to Ken Napsok's Pop Rocket Radio and requesting songs on his Mixcloud. You can find them on Mixcloud. He is crushing it. You could probably find me in my neighborhood ordering some Italian food and making some of my own. And also hanging out with Corey, listening to Aerosmith, because that's one of my favorite things to do.
Even when the song's not so great, and all I can promise is...
This time we're going to be different!
Next week it's going to be different. It may not be a jailbait type song. You're going to get a good one. We still got some great tracks on the dice here. They include Chip Away the Stone, Rats in the Cellar, Permanent Vacation, Walk on Water, Sick as a Dog, and new this week, You Gotta Move from Honkin' on Bobo. I can't wait to get into those. And if you'd like, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at CD Marset. And you can follow my other show, which is breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog called And the Podcast Will Rock. You can find us at Podcast Will Rock on Twitter and our website, www.podcastwillrock.com. If you like Van Halen as much as Aerosmith, by all means, give us a, you know, check us out there. And John, geez, another 7 days, we get to do this again. What are you looking forward to next week? Which one are you hoping for?
I've been hoping for a past couple of weeks for Permanent Vacation, but I will take any song off of that die right now because I love five of them, and one of them I'm looking forward to hearing the first time.
And I love all six. I think you're going to like You Gotta Move, a great Aerosmith cover. But until then, on behalf of John Mariano, my name is Corey Morrison. And as always, we will give the last word to Mr. Steven Tyler.